Springer Mountain Farms, the purest, best-tasting chicken available. Visit SpringerMTN.com and join the flock for cooking tips, coupons, and great information. Springer Mountain Farms, simply superior chicken. Always great care and great taste.
From the station that made country music famous, 650 AM WSM, this is a Coffee, Country, and Cody podcast.
Hi, it's Charlie Maddox, and in this episode, we sit down with Country Music Hall of Famer and Songwriter Hall of Famer Don Schlitz, along with the great fiddler and Don's producer on a new bluegrass project, Glenn Duncan. It was release day for the new single, Bad Decisions, and they stopped by our WSM studios to not only share new music, but share lots of great stories.
Prison, got a number for my name. Warden said as he locked the door, you gambled your last game. Gambled your last game, gambled your last game.
Country music royalty in studio this morning. First you heard Don Schlitz live on the stage at the Ryman Auditorium, and you just heard Glenn Duncan back to back on Coffee, Country, and Cody. And you guys have been working together and have a new album. Don, you got a new bluegrass album out today.
Well, the album's not out yet. No, we're just teasing. The single is out. The album is coming. We've figured out that the music business, if you give them everything at once, they go like, that's great for 30 minutes.
And then they want another album.
Yeah.
That's right.
But it's like saying, it's like going to Costco and getting a sample. But, you know, but it sounds better. So we're going to give a single, and then we'll give another single, and then the album, which is called Mountaintop, will be forthcoming when forth comes, which will be later this...
will it be this year or early 2020?
This year, no. It's going to be later in 2019.
Just in time for
holiday
gift giving.
You're just checking to see if I know what year it is, right?
Just in time for holiday gift giving. I see what's going on. This man is a marketing genius.
I am not. The man next to me is a marketing genius. And our other producer, Adam Englehart, is just all about... You know, shameless promotion and sales. He will put, you know, like, because, you know, you played just a second ago. Got to play the Ryman last night, Jelly Roll and I did with the band. And had Opry Country Classics with Mr. Gatlin, who is such a sweet man, you know. We have a good time, and he came up and hugged me 40 times. And,
well, that's because you are now colleagues in the Songwriters
the
Hall
Nashville
of Fame here
Songwriters
in Nashville.
The Songwriters Hall of Fame. Well, not yet. He is not inducted yet, so he better drive safely. You know what? Because it'll, you know what? His last thought will be, well, dang, I didn't quite. I think they'll do it anyway. Last breath. You know, that's Glenn, he's pointing at you.
No,
I'm not
Glenn
used to
Duncan.
Cody being here.
No.
Usually, now, listen. Sorry to take over, but here's what happens. I get to come and be guest host, and I thought premier guest host when you're not here. So it's interesting to see you in person. I've seen pictures. But, you know, you actually were talking to Stacey Newman earlier.
Yeah.
Wonderful personality.
Yeah, more than the music on Heartland and now in national syndication, which is coming this next week.
And congratulations. She's gonna be all over the country. She's got to be so excited to possibly interview me later. but she's...
It's the last thing she said on the way out the door.
And I bet it was.
What time's he coming? Oh, let's
go. Gotta go. Okay. So there you are saying, well, we know who to call for a guest host. And I'm driving down the street in heavy traffic, according to Richard Thomas. And it was. I can verify him. And I'm going like, what? What am I? I thought I was like the premier guest co-host on the air flag of the sky.
Listen,
and
you know, first call double scale. That's you.
Oh,
that's you.
And what is single scale?
That's what Charlie and I get.
We get scale.
Double scale immediately gets that. Oh, yeah.
So Glenn is, Bill Monroe would be proud of the sideburns, son.
Oh, yes, sir.
I don't know so much about the goatee and the other part there.
No, that the goatee, that's just a dragging us plumb down. Yes, sir. That's a hurting us right
out there.
You mentioned the name as we were listening to you doing that fiddle.
Yes.
Howdy Forrester.
Howdy Forrester.
Was that the style? Is that how I stepped out of the room and came back in and you were saying, he's the guy who...
Yeah. You know, when I first started playing the Opry and all that back in the 70s as a kid, so fortunate that Howdy Forrester was playing with Roy Acuff. You know, Benny Martin was still around and active.
Big
and
tag.
Let the big tag in. That's right. Me and my fiddle. And so I would ask all those guys. I was so interested in the history of it. And, you know, that style that you hear on Roving Gambler. And I always think of it like on Earl's Breakdown, Flint Hill Special, those songs. You know, like the way that what defines bluegrass fiddle in the key of G or key of A, you know, the notey rolling notes thing. One time when I thought, so I would ask each guy, you know, I would just play a little bit of that. Like for Benny Martin, I played some of the stuff in G, and I said, okay, Benny, I said, and he goes, you know, he talked, and I said, who's the very first guy you ever heard play like that? And he goes, oh, Duncan, that's Howdy Forrester. So Howdy invented that whole style, and thank God Howdy got to play on Earl's Breakdown. Three great solos on Flattens Krug's record of Earl's Breakdown, and they are an encyclopedia of bluegrass fiddle playing, and thank goodness he got to do that. And interesting story about that. When I was playing with Earl Scruggs, I would always talk about Earl's Breakdown, because, I mean, everybody, we all love Foggy Mountain Breakdown, and it's been very good to the Scruggs and the Duncans as well. And but Earl's Breakdown, I would always talk about that record, and every time I would bring it up, Earl would always say, oh, man, you know, thing about that song always just really broke my heart. He said, we played it, because I love everything about that record. And he said, and that's before he had the tuners on the banjo. So he's manually tuning that second string, which leads to an interesting moment in that record. Right before the last time he comes in, he's doing it manually by ear on that second
string.
Exactly. Yeah. And it doesn't come back too good the first time. Second time comes back worse. Third time it gets plumb over in that sorry territory. And so then when the fiddle comes in on the last break, you can hear Earl chopping rhythm. If you listen closely in the background, you can hear him ding, 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 ding. He's tuning up that second string. But I always talk to him about, love that record of Earl's Breakdown. You said, I'll tell you what breaks my heart about that record. He said, we cut it one time all the way through. And he said, he said it was better than the version we know. And he said, I finished it up, you know, and producer said, well, that's good, Earl, but for some reason or other, he said, maybe just one more take. And I said, I don't believe I could possibly do it any better than that. And I love everything about how this fiddle and everything felt good to me, you know. And he said, well, it wouldn't take but 3 minutes to do it again. And I thought, well, okay, well, I'll just do it. And they'll hang on to that other one. I'll do it again 3 minutes. Said, so we cut down on it and finished it up. And I said, I still believe I like that first one better. And he said, ain't no more first one. We went right over it. So
they rewound the tape and recorded over.
Yeah, there went the first one.
Oh,
yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. So the first.
Lost to eternity.
Yes. In fact, Don, that was a bad decision.
Possibly.
How's that for a segue?
Very nice.
That's well done. You know, but as the premier guest co-host, I must say that I'm so glad you're here. My voice is gone after last night, and I knew that'd be okay you would be here and Cody would be here.
Yes.
And I could just say, and
yeah,
dot dot dot, and you take over. But the interesting thing about bluegrass sessions, I'd never been asked to actually make an album before. Yeah. I'd always asked,
right?
So it was like a reverse thing. And this, who knew? I'm thinking like, whoa, boy, bad decisions. Oh, there you go. But what will happen in a session is that Glenn and these wonderful musicians, and on this record, we've got Rob McCrory, Casey mm-hmm. Campbell, Dennis Crouch, Cody Kilby, Aubrey Haney, and Jelly Roll Johnson playing.
Yeah.
They start talking, and Glenn, somebody will say something, and Glenn's got a story.
Yeah.
And there's about 30 minutes that goes on with this story. and voice, and I'm just sitting there doing my dream is coming true. I'm finding out what happens backstage.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've gone through the song one time, and they say, okay, well, let's play it. And then we play it, and, like, we take two takes, and we're done.
Oh, yeah. That's
and these guys are great.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm just sitting there going, like, where were you when I was 20? And, of course, they weren't born yet.
Well, hang on to that. We're going to come back. Bad Decisions. It's the new single. It is out today from the forthcoming Don Schlitz full album, Mountaintop. That is a new single from Don Schlitz, Bad Decisions, from the forthcoming album later this year, just in time for holiday gift giving. That's my big tease. I have a feeling I know when it's coming out, just in time for holiday gift giving.
That's what three freshman semesters at Duke University will get you. I tell you what.
Don Schlitz, produced by Glenn Duncan, who has accompanied him in the studio. And there was a quote in Bluegrass today where you said, the master storyteller is at the top of his game.
Absolutely, he is.
Is my face red?
Oh,
no, it's my shirt. I'm sorry. And let's just say who played on that.
I wish you would.
Rob McCoury played banjo. Casey Campbell played mandolin. Dennis Crouch played bass. Cody Kilby played guitar. Aubrey Haney played, did he play fiddle. And Jelly Roll Johnson, my normal partner that I play with at the Bluebird, is on the harmonica and just blowing his heart out.
And Glenn, where were you when all that was going down?
I was in the control room, keeping everything lined out and in good shape.
He was finishing a story.
That's exactly right. That's right.
I was saving my tenor voice. I was fixing to go in there and sing.
You doing background vocals?
It's Glenn Duncan and Eddie Sanders on the background vocals. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you for interjecting that, Mr.
Yes, sir.
Producer.
Oh, yes, sir.
Well done.
Yes, sir.
You've done this before, haven't you?
A time or two, yes, sir.
Yeah, she should come back sometime when I'm the guest host.
Would you have me back sometime?
Sorry.
You know what we should do?
Yes, sir.
Put Glenn over there in the control room portion of the studio where Charlie is, and then you over here. Oh. And then Charlie and I can take off at the same time.
Oh. We're there. We are so there.
We're there.
Yeah.
Now, keep in mind, you have a federally recognized license you have to protect from the Federal Communications Commission.
Yeah, so?
At 6:50 a.m.
Right,
WSM.
But when we're done, right?
Yeah, that's exactly the way it rolls.
Listen, we are the air flag of the sky.
The
we can't be messing around.
The total air flag of the sky. And you know what? Basically, I've been looking for a way to wrap up my bio. I think bringing down the greatest radio station in the history of Marconi's invention.
Well, Jerry House killed the Waking Crew. You may as well kill Coffee Country and Cody.
Jerry, some people talk about All I've Done, Radio Hall of Famer Jerry House, and all those monster ratings back in the day, and now he's an author. He's retired. He said, I am the guy who killed the most popular radio show WSM has ever known, the Waking Crew.
Wow.
A break. We'll continue in studio this morning. Hall of Famer Don Schlitz and Glenn Duncan, Grammy winner.
Bill Cody.
Adios, amigos.
WSM.
That is new music, forthcoming album, Don Schlitz, Mountaintop. It's Bluegrass Don Schlitz on Coffee Country and Cody, and Red Satin Dress on 6:50 a.m. WSM in studio with us this morning. On the 20th, he'll be back at the Bluebird. He and Jelly Roll Johnson, who plays on this album. October the 25th, he'll be back at the Bluebird. And then you're going back to the Floribama Perdido Key in early November.
Oh, for the Frank Jones. Yeah, Frank Brown. Frank Jones was the head of Capitol when they signed me for an hour.
Well, they've never signed us for an hour, so that's still pretty cool.
And your producer, Glenn Duncan, still producing under the watchful eye of Glenn Duncan, orchestrating this morning.
Absolutely.
So what's it like when you get somebody who's not a traditional recording artist, certainly a bluegrass musician,
right,
but has this Country Music Hall of Fame songwriting presence.
And 1,200 uncut songs.
Exactly right. You know you have plenty of material.
How many of these songs, Don, have a long history? I mean, you'd had them for a long time and just didn't have a place for them. Or were most of these more recent writings?
On the album.
On the Bluegrass album.
There's going to be 3 or 4 surprises of songs that people have heard before. They were just songs I've been writing that were basically what I wanted to hear. And that's been my, kind of goal forever. And at a certain point, you know, music moves on in certain areas in the popular, so-called popular, radio. And your writing stays at one place, or you have your own way of writing. So therefore, anyway, boy, that was really well said, Don. Thank you. I wish I had another voice right now. I wish I had a voice right now. The point being that so many of these songs are more recent songs, and so many of them I wrote by myself. That one I wrote with Scotty Emmerich, by the way, the great Scotty Emmerich.
Oh, wow.
And that's always fun. But I've really kind of stopped writing. I had stopped writing. And then Glenn and Adam said, we want to, record. We think these songs work as bluegrass songs. I'm going like, well, that's what I always heard them as anyway. And you get into the studio and it's like Thanksgiving. You know, you just, everybody drops everything and you're smiling. You're in agreement. And you talk and talk and talk and laugh, and then you just serve up the meal, and it's so delicious, and you eat, and then you go back and talk some more. But the musicians are so good.
So the meal is the recording part.
The meal, yeah.
And the fellowship is all that other stuff as you use that.
It's one big
Thanksgiving
smile.
Analogy.
That's all I can say about bluegrass. I think you go in there and you drop politics, you drop religion, you drop all that stuff, and it becomes about, let's just look at each other and be here together. And that is just a wonderful way of having to admit that I'm not as retired as I thought I was.
And Glenn, was it that way working with the creators like Bill Monroe and Lester Flatt and Earl Scruggs?
Oh, yeah.
Same sort of recording process as Don experienced?
Absolutely. Earl would be... just like I do. He would be telling stories up right to the minute that they said, all right, count it off. I mean, he would be standing there next to me saying, yeah, and then, Bill said, Sally Gooden, probably about the key A, and they'd go, you're up, Earl. Oh, okay. They'd count it off because it was just, it's all part of this, the get-togethers, and which we always had, the famous,
Earl. But that's where the music started, was family.
That's,
coming from Europe, bringing that music and get-togethers and food and drink and fellowship.
Exactly right. So we keep that same thing in the studio. That's the whole idea, is this is going to be fun. Everybody comes in to play. We're just going to have fun. And we're going to record these tunes, and you get much better music that way.
Had you worked with Don before?
No. We had not, but I was such a fan of his songs, and there's just not a better storyteller or a greater songwriter in my whole generation,
That's malarkey. But
I thought he was going to have me say it again. That's usually
I had to search.
Be sure and get an audio clip here.
My headphones cut out. Could you say that again?
That would be a Bill Monroe thing.
I was searching for the word malarkey because several other words came to my mind.
First. Yeah.
You're very kind. Yeah. And I fortunately came to town in a golden age of songwriters. The people that I studied and got to play with, Bob McDill, Paul Kraft, Jim Rushing, and then learning from Tom T. Hall. Then, if you listen to the songs, you like, and then growing up in North Carolina, in Durham, we had an awful lot of Motown and Stax and Holland Dozier Holland and Smokey Robinson back when all the songs were on the same station and they're all the same.
We talk about the
two types of music. Well, there's good music and there's bad music. Good music makes you feel good about yourself. Even if you're lonely, even if you're sad, you're going to feel like you're not alone. And bad music is like just what we play to get to the next commercial. And that's okay. There's got to be that. There's only room for so many great songs at a time that we can take in and live with. And so that's what I, you know, always gravitated toward without even really thinking there was a big difference. I think that when the Byrds put out Sweetheart of the Rodeo,
right. yeah.
that was a major
landmark,
landmark mm-hmm. for me mm-hmm. to hear, wait a darn minute.
Yeah.
These are the songs I like. And, mm-hmm. oh, you can play in that way, too. There's all sorts of things you can do with music. The best thing you can do with music is smile.
Don Schlitz in studio. Glenn Duncan, Mountaintop, is the new bluegrass work that'll be out later this year. And the lead single, Bad Decisions, out today. You heard Red Satin Dress. And we close with how you saved Vince Gill and the album, the Oki album.
I did, yeah.
How did you go? Because you had the big tease, but you haven't paid it off with the story yet.
I have not paid it off.
No, if you would.
I didn't even know that I hadn't said it because, you know, Oki is probably the, I think it's Vince's best album. And he is my dear friend. I can drop a bunch of names, but he's actually the one that I know. And not just a business friend, but somebody that I've watched eat breakfast many times and paid for. The point being, Vince and I were writing songs before he was Vince Gill in air quotes. You know,
yeah.
He hasn't changed a bit. And he's finally, you know, come to his confidence in his songwriting. And these songs on Oki, I've been hearing for a couple of years, just waiting for people to hear them. But he was, you know, I really saved it because he wanted to title the album Hokey Pokey. And I didn't think that was I thought it was a misleading title. So,
Oki. He said it was the first album he's ever done that didn't include a line from a song. It just Oki is who he is, yeah. where he hails from, and that word. He said this in our interview backstage in Studio A on Friday night when we were doing what will become a radio special. But he said that was the equivalent of the N-word for people from Oklahoma as it related to the Dust Bowl and going to California. Yeah. And all those Okies headed out there, and people resented them. And so the term Oki was born, and now it's a term of endearment
sure.
of sorts,
yeah.
but it certainly wasn't back then, and, wow. and he shared that story.
Sweet man. He's always been a wonderful supporter. So many times he's come down to the Bluebird, shown up, and played, and people are sitting there, and they three or four songs into it, they start thinking, wait a minute, he looks familiar. He plays really good, and he's singing. Oh, goodness. And we'll, you know, sit there and play. And the best thing about it is he leaves before I get paid and doesn't take any money. And I just appreciate that.
And isn't he responsible for your first ever Grand Ole Opry appearance?
Oh, the sucker. We went out to eat one night. Both of our wives were otherwise. He said, come with me to work. And I'd forgotten that work for him was going to the Opry. And so I'm standing over there. He says, you be my manager tonight. I said, okay. So he sits me over by the side of the stage. I'm talking to John Conley and Mr. Conley and you know, doing my best to listen because I've been working on I'm a John Conley impersonation for so long. I can't do it like a Bill Monroe like you do. But I love John Conley, who cut a song of mine called Old School. And so I'm talking to him, and I hear Vince out there saying, and I've got a friend with me tonight, and I don't think he's ever played out here on the stage of the Opry. And I think we ought to be. I'm thinking, like, excuse me, Mr. Conley. Oh, and again, I didn't say the word malarkey, but I thought, oh, goodness. And so I went out, and I went over, and Vince handed me his guitar, and I whispered in his ear, you're not leaving me here alone. And that was my first time on the Opry. And, you know, I absolutely love playing, getting to be a guest at the Grand Ole Opry or at Country Classics like last night. It's something I didn't expect. Much like getting to hang and play with Glenn Duncan.
And have your album produced by the Grammy Award winning.
Yeah, and hearing the stories and, oh, my goodness. And, you know, being here at the same time you're here.
That's right. Remember, first call, double scale, guest host, Coffee Country and Cody Don Schlitz. What I remember about that Opry follow-up is that Stacy Schlitz, attorney and wife, was on the phone Monday morning going, how do I get a copy? I know it's proprietary, but listen, I'm an attorney. Trust me. How do I get a copy of my husband playing on the Grand Ole Opry, his debut performance?
I went out into the hall and afterwards, and Eddie Stubbs comes up to me. And at a very close range, nose to nose, looks at me and says, "That was an Opry moment." And I'm going like, okay, I guess, you know, you're Eddie Stubbs and I'm standing here talking to you. I've just had the weirdest life anybody ever had.
But now you must share what Stacy told you immediately after performing The Gambler as well.
The first time that I played on my debut.
Yes.
When they had me back after the Hall of Fame mistake they made, was they had me... they had me come in and be a guest at the Opry, and I get back and I'm like 3 feet off the ground, feeling great, and just Jelly and I played The Gambler, and it was really just, you know, amazing night to be able to feel like you were part of something so permanent and wonderful. And I get back to the dressing room and say, he said, "Well, you killed him off pretty fast." I said, "What are you talking about?" He says, "Yeah, you dropped 2 verses from the song." I did not. She said, "I taped it." I was over in the corner writing down the words to The Gambler. And that's not a short song. We had another show to do that, and I wanted people to know what happened. Some of them might have not have heard it before.
Don Schlitz, Glenn Duncan, Coffee Country, and Cody. I'm Bill Cody, Charlie Matos. Thank you, fellas. This has been so special. The new album, Mountaintop, comes out later in the year, and the new single, Bad Decisions, is out wherever you buy or download music today.
Coffee, Country, and Cody.
The most fun in the morning.
WSM.
Thanks for listening to our Coffee, Country, and Cody podcast. Our digital program director is Jay Patrick. Our digital producer is Haley Hall. Marketing and promotions director, Nicole A. Judd. General manager of 650 AM WSM is Chris Kulik. I'm Charlie Matos. We'll see you next time on our Coffee, Country, and Cody podcast.
Springer Mountain Farms, the purest, best-tasting chicken available. Visit SpringerMTN.com and join the flock for cooking tips, coupons, and great information. Springer Mountain Farms, simply superior chicken. Always great care and great taste.